Partido Partido podcast, the English speaking podcast about all things Atleti. Another win for Atleti, and what do you know? Onos Arismo is back all of a sudden, and we couldn't be happier with a very sudden return for the classic Simeone system, the ultimate way to enjoy football. Joining me as well is Emmanuel. How are you doing, Emmanuel?
I'm doing good, and you, Ata?
Very good. And so let's get right into it. As mentioned, Atleti picked up another 1-0 win, this time away against Rayo Vallecano. It didn't come easy. Emmanuel, please give us your thoughts about the game.
Well, like mentioned on the pre-match podcast, which we did before the game, we talked about the fact that Vallecas is not a tough ground to go there. And I think Atleti are just the third team to have beaten Rayo at home, which says a lot about how Andoni Iraola's team are good at home. Well, it was a really close game, and was decided by a goal from Koke, because it wasn't, like Etar said, it wasn't easy. The first 30 minutes of the game was really, really, really close. We did both defenses canceling each other out. Atleti created the better chances, with Griezmann having two chances and one being saved by Dmitrievski, and the other he couldn't capitalize, because if he touched the ball, that would have given Atleti the lead. But as the game progressed, Atleti tried to impose their dominance, they were first on the second ball, like Simeone said in his post-match press conference. Atleti did not really have an outstanding game, but there were some players who were really good, like, for example, Ronaldo, who basically controlled the left-hand side on his own. And one of the things, that, in my opinion, that guaranteed Atleti's victory for this game was Atleti minimized the threat Rayo Vallecano possessed from the wings. On the left, you have the Garcia Savaro and Fran Garcia. On the right, you have Izzy, and then you have Bailadu. But you mostly have Captain Oscar Chiho operating in the right half space. And you have Renido basically shutting out those three guys. That was really amazing to see. And his battle against Bebe was really one in which he came out on top all the time, which was amazing. Like we just said in the last podcast, him coming to Atleti has really boosted the club in so many ways. Not just in defense, but also in attack. And we see a lot of the players whose performances have improved recently were also on fine form. You had Depaul, you had Koke, you had Llorente too. But the thing that impressed me most from this game was the amount of players Atleti had in the box. Each time, I think Llorente had to maybe give a cutback or put a cross into the box. In my opinion, that's been a reason why Atleti has scored so many goals this season. Because over the years, the amount of players they are committing forward is increasing, which means you have more opportunities to score goals, especially from Llorente's run. If you remember on previous podcasts, you have been criticizing the fact that there are no many options in the box, and that results in also we have one-dimensional runs from the players in the box, but now we have so many players which kind of make it dynamic. Overall, that was an important win for the top four race, given Atleti's rivals like Villarreal and Betis are dropping points, and Atleti have just Barcelona to worry about, who play in the Clásico later tonight.
It's not just El Clásico, but there are multiple teams that Atleti are competing with, which have tough matches today. Betis already dropped points with a draw against Celta Vigo. Villarreal lost against Cadiz, and Sevilla drew against Real Sociedad. So this puts Atleti 3 points behind Sevilla, who are in second. They're obviously 3 points ahead of Barca, who haven't played El Clásico yet. We're recording right before the Clásico. They're 4 points ahead of Betis and 6 points ahead of Sociedad, 9 points ahead of Villarreal. So this run of form really revived Atleti's season. 5 wins in a row, and hopefully many more to come. We can't praise Ronaldo enough. Really changed the sides. Defensive quality, and improved it in a manner that even the most optimistic person wouldn't have imagined. Oblak obviously had a good match and really is starting to look more and more like the Oblak of old. And as you mentioned, plenty of other players had a brilliant match. Let's talk about Koke for starters. For the goal, obviously a brilliant 1-2 with Felix, who we will discuss later, and then a brilliant finish to the far post. It was an unsavable shot, really, and really good from the captain. But he had an outstanding match, even if you remove the goal. He created a chance for Griezmann really early in the match with a pass that, it wasn't an easy pass to make, and I don't think many players would have been able to execute it to perfection like Koke did. Griezmann could have finished it better, but it ultimately ended with a corner for Atleti. So I asked you this question after the United game. You weren't very convinced, but right now, do you think the Koke of old is starting to return? Is he starting to pick form again? And like, do you think this injury really gave him the rest that he needed?
Well, I said last time that the injury came as a blessing in disguise, because that gave him the rest he needed, given the amount of games he played last year, or played for Atleti, played almost, I think he was one of the players who played almost every game. Then he also was a starter for Spain at the Euros. That was good. Well, that's just 2 games, and I'm happy for him, because when Koke plays well, Atleti plays well, given he's like Cholo Simeone on the pitch. He's like the brains behind how we play. He has the tactical intelligence. I think more than anyone else in the squad. So seeing him having a little bit of consistency is great. And he looks like he was not meant to be the player to play as the deep, as a holding midfielder. I had a discussion with someone on Twitter about this, but it seems I was wrong, because I thought he could do that like he did last season, but it seems him playing as one of the interior midfielders is where we have seen the best of Koke this season, able to have that kind of freedom to impact the game both in offense and in defense, and not having a lot of ground to cover, as was the case when he played as a holding midfielder. So I think so far so good, and I'm sure he can get back to the player he was. Like Cholo said, he had a bad spell and now he's back, like all players do. So hopefully he can keep on with this form, and that makes Atleti much more better.
Very well. Another player which is having a really good form right now, Depaul. And we did talk about him in the last episode. Really looking more and more like the player we were hoping to see. Had a phenomenal match against Rayo. For me, he was the man of the match. Really controlled the midfield alongside Koke. Both of them really thrive when they aren't playing as a pivot. Herrera had to be the one making the sacrifice and playing out of position to cover for them. And he's obviously not the best choice to play in that position, but he did slot in there when needed. Thankfully, Kondogbia is returned from an injury and is getting eased to the lineup again. picked up minutes both against United and against Rayo. And yeah, it really feels much more safe with Kondogbia on the pitch. But not only for the defense, but also frees both of these amazing players going forward. So let's hope we see more of that. Now, let's talk about another player that really is getting unlocked and is hitting a really good form recently, and it's João Félix. He has 8 goal contributions now in the last 9 matches, and an assist in the last game to add to that tally. And all around, just a brilliant performance from João Félix. What are your thoughts about his current form and his match yesterday?
Well, I think everybody in the footballing world knows Felix is a super talented player. He has what it takes to be among the best in the world. And like I tweeted yesterday, he's now playing like the Felix we saw last season from August to December, and him playing without injury, because he said last season, even though he came back from injury, he was still playing with the pain, but he looks like he's injury free, and that's great for him and also great for Aleti. But Felix in form, I will not say just down to him, but also down to tactics Cholo change. Last time we talked about the fact that you have not seen so many things that have changed tactical wise, but I think there have been a lot of things that has changed, and one of them is the freedom Felix now has. From August to December last season, he kind of operated on the right hand side, on the left hand side, where the team was built around him, and he dropped deep, he linked up, jack players out of position, do what he's good at on and off the ball with his movement and everything. And this season it is similar, but the difference is now that he now has the freedom of playing, I would say, as a nine, because most of those games in which he has been very good, we have not seen him play alongside Suarez, Correa, maybe, and now Griezmann. So he has kind of had the freedom to do so much more. That means he has less defensive duties to do, and that is great for him because, in my opinion, Felix is more effective when he sees so much of the ball, and him as an outlet for Aleti when Aleti are about to launch a counter, as we saw against United, as we saw also against Rayo, is great for him because he sees more of the ball, and it was also a similar case against B. But his mentality has also improved. He's not like the player who gets frustrated easily. He tries to keep on going. It's like the Partido, or the Nunca Dejas de Creer is now finally in him, and you can then see the result. So Felix doing well is wonderful news for Aleti and the club, and because he was brought in to be the new face when Griezmann left, Aleti spent so much money for him, and we have been saying patience, and he has now finally adapted, in my opinion, and he's now showing us what he can do. And that link up with Griezmann is just superb, and that's something we talk about. And in my opinion, if that can continue, then that's great for Aleti, like I said, and also great for him personally.
Very well. So as mentioned, his hit form since Atleti stopped playing with a nine on the pitch. Obviously, the only nine available in the squad is Suarez. Felix, when partnered with Griezmann and Correa, has been at his best, as you said. And not only are we seeing less of him on the defensive side, but another strength which is coming to light recently is how good he is at positioning himself in order to get the scoring opportunity. And we saw that multiple times with his goals, just being at the right place in order to finish the chance. And I think that's an underrated feat in a player. Hopefully we'd see more of that from João Félix, and he continues his amazing form. So this did come at the expense of Luis Suarez, which Obviously has accepted being the super sub, the player that comes off the bench in most matches, and sometimes doesn't even come off the bench. But even in that role, he seems to be struggling. Obviously, Atleti were trying to protect the lead when he came on, and multiple, most of the chances that he got were ones where he had to chase the ball, where Atleti were on the counter, and that's obviously not Suarez's best position at the moment, since he has unfunctional knees and can barely run anymore. So what are your thoughts about Suarez's current struggles?
Well, Suarez's current struggles are down to him, in my opinion. I'm not saying, sorry, are not down to him, but down to age. You cannot beat age. He's no more the mobile Suarez which we saw in MSN or saw at Liverpool. His lack of mobility is what has made him not to be a starter and to be a super sub. And in my opinion, at the moment, I think games in which we will see the best of Suarez will be games where Atleti really need a goal and they are on the front foot. They have more of the ball. They are playing more in the opponent's half. Those are the games in which we are going to see Suarez come to life because he's not very mobile, but in the box, he still has that predatory instincts in the box in which it's like he's in front of you and later he's behind you. So those type of things. So that was, like we said last time, that was one of the great calls Cholo made, and that also changed Atleti's fortune. So I think him accepting that role is kind of also great for everybody and also great for the atmosphere in the dressing room. So going forward, well, I think many will agree he is going to be leaving this summer and Atleti will not be renewing, which is okay for, I think, everybody. And also, we can still count on Suarez. Remember, that's the guy who helped us win the league last season, and you see he's on 9 goals, and I'm sure he just know there's a time that he still has some things to contribute. Like I said, maybe in games where Atleti need to go and are pressing really deep, because if the current way Atleti are playing will not suit him very much. You just talk about positioning being one of one of Felix's underrated attribute, which is true. But Suarez also has that. But the difference between both is the fact that Felix can run at defenders with the ball, and he's more mobile. Still has the legs. Why Suarez doesn't have that. So, in my opinion, it's just age. And I think last season he kind of squeezed out the last juice which he had, and he gave his all for the club. And this season he kind of ran out of it.
No matter what happens, if he does get a renewal, which is looking more and more unlikely, or not, we will remember Suarez for an amazing time he had at the club. Let's save the talk about his departure or not. Until the end of the season, hopefully we do see Suarez contributing more in the upcoming matches. We might see more of him since Correa seems to be getting a suspension right now. He got a red card against Rayo for something he said to the referee, an insult, obviously. The current rumors are saying that he will be out for 2 matches, although some are saying it could be up to 4 matches, but the most likely ban currently is 2 matches. So we will it remains to be seen what the situation will be with Correa. At the moment, Atleti will have an international break. Emmanuel, what do you think? Is this a good time or a bad time for it?
Well, that's a very tough question. But because you have players like Koke, Rodrigo De Paul who are finding their feet, and which is improved, we have many players individually who are improving. like Oblak, Jimenez, Rodrigo De Paul, and you kind of want that rhythm to continue, but now you have a kind of break, which most of them are going to be leaving for international duties, and seeing Koke in the Spanish national side is obviously good because we have an elite player there, but I kind of feel like he needed the rest. He's just back from an injury. He has played back-to-back games in the space of, I think, 4 days, 3 days, and now you have to go. He has to go to the international duties and then represent Spain again. Well, it's kind of depend on which angle you look at it from, because Aleti has played so many games. The games have come thick and fast, and maybe this kind of a rest in which maybe Tolo can maybe check about other things the team need to improve, like being consistent for 90 minutes. Because to be honest, in that Rayo game, there were moments in which Aleti were 60s or 70s in defense, and Aleti, after the break, Aleti have levels, and you have City in the space of, I think, 1 week, so if I'm not mistaken. So they depend on which angle you look at it. I don't really think it's positive or negative, but I'm kind of neutral about it, given some players, like maybe after the break, you have Korea, he has an ankle injury. Maybe after the international break, he'll be back, and like you just said, he has too much ban, which in my opinion is really outrageous. And you have players like Daniel Vassou, who may come back from injury after the break. No one knows. And you have Kondogbia, who's going to return from injury, and this break may be good for him. So in my opinion, it depends on how you look at it. But this kind of maybe disrupts a latest rhythm of consecutive wins in La Liga and also games undefeated.
I mean, yes, it does come at a time where Atleti are in good form. It could disrupt them, but I do think the positives outweigh the negatives, since after the international break, Lemar will be back, Versalica will be back, Kondogbia will be more match fit. Carrasco obviously is already back from injury, will be back from suspension. And both Cunha and Daniel Vaz could also return after the international break. So as long as Atleti don't lose other players to injuries during the international break, then hopefully Atleti will have a full squad available for the upcoming matches. So that would be a massive thing for them. I don't think it happened all season. So, hopefully we do get that for the rest of the season. You mentioned the Champions League draw. Atleti were drawn against Manchester City. What are your thoughts about the Champions League draw?
Well, in my opinion, that's one of the opponents I do not want Atleti to be drawn against, because given Atleti's state this season, that City are basically the worst opponent for us to be playing against. I know people will talk about the fact about Cholo's history against Pep, talking going back basically 2016 and the rest, but it's not playing City really bad for Atleti, because Atleti are playing, thinking back to the game against Barcelona, I know. The 6-6 and Atleti being bad in defense were the reasons why I think we lost that game. But we are playing against a team in which they'll be able to pass the ball fluidly. And though we saw Atleti's press was good against United, but United are not as good as playing the ball from the back as it. And playing against City means Atleti will have to defend deeper and deeper, which is really bad, if you know what I mean, given Atleti's 6-3 season. When each time the team defends deeper and deeper, you just have that feeling that Atleti are going to concede again. And that's how Pep teams like to force the opponent defending against their box. And I basically watched their game against Southampton today in the League Club, which that they won 4-1. And I think the first half, their team were vulnerable on the counter, like many teams who play high defensive line. Atleti can take advantage of that with the attacking powers they have. Well, I don't want to be pessimistic, but I hope Atleti qualify, but I'm not really sure our chances are that high. But well, Atleti are at their best when our backs are against the war. And this is another scenario, but looking at things tactically and maybe trying to analyze it, you don't really see that much chance for Aleti, but well, Aleti have enough firepower, and with so many of the players improving their individual performance, and you have José María acting as the leader centrally, covering up for teammates very well. Well, one never knows, but I'm not really optimistic.
Well, one thing's for certain, and it's Nunca Dejas de Creer. So, I mean, like I said, Manchester City are one of the better teams left in the Champions League. They have tremendous firepower up front, but also a stunning defense. It's difficult to break them, and you know they will create so many chances. Going forward, so it's definitely not going to be easy, and Atleti are definitely the underdogs in this tie. But we were drawn against sides that were as tough, and you know, Simeone managed to find a way to squeeze Atleti through. Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible; it is improbable. Yeah, we will. Just have wait and see how it goes, and we will cover it in more detail in a future episode. Our friend Emiliano drew a nice comparison and said the if Atleti are to go through, it'll be like the Rocky movie where he just keeps on getting punched over and over. And you just start wondering, how is he still up? And eventually he just has enough power in him to land a knockout. Yeah, if Atleti are to go through, I imagine it'll be something similar to that. Atleti have done it in the past. Hopefully they can do it again. Yeah, that's all we can say about Man City right now, but partido, it's not the next match. The next match is against Alaves, a team Atleti lost against in the first half of the season. Emmanuel, please give us your thoughts about that game.
Well, Alaves have sacked Caleja, which was the coach in charge when Alaves defeated Aleti and Mendy Llorosa, and now you have Mendilibar in charge. And Mendilibar is a coach. Is I mean, Mendilibar's teams, that's basically Eibar, have always given Aleti a lot to think about, their high pressing and the rest. But it's Alaves side are really struggling. For example, they are defending against Granada this weekend's 3-2 defeat from set pieces was really, really shocking. They were going for zonal marking, and you have three players, not really at the far post, but I can see from the center of the goal to the far post, and they are really on mark. So he's still trying to get his idea along. The first games is like, well, Mendilibar is maybe going to help them stay up because it's kind of, you could see his blueprints, how he wants the team to play, but there is still a lot for him to improve, and the team is still not really, let me not say playing, but not really have not really grasped Mendilibar's ideas. So Aleti are playing a team who is, let me say, you don't really know what to expect from them. But one thing to know is that they are going to be playing a high-pressing game, and you don't know if they are going to be effective at it or they are going to be defective. But like with Koke and De Paul coming back to form recently, it's great for Aleti because we need a lot of more pass players who can. Those are we need our players who are good at passing the ball to be on top game against Mendilibar side. Well, it's a game everybody expect Aleti to win, but it's not going to be easy given we are playing against a team who has a lot to fight for. Where they are, it's looking like they are going to be relegated, but they are not yet relegated, so it's going to be tough. But I do expect Aleti to win given what we have seen recently, and I will expect somebody like Onumbia to shine that game because second balls against Mendilibar's team, second balls are always key. And if we can win the second ball battle, then we win the game.
Very well. So we'll have to say we'll have to wait and see what changes Simeone makes to the starting lineup in light of the players returning from injury and any other changes that could happen during the international break. So yeah, I suppose that's that covers everything for the Alaves game. Now let's move on and talk about some of the loaned players. We're gonna discuss some of them in right now and in future episodes. Starting with the both players that are loaned out to Mirandes, Sergio Cameo and Roro Riquelme. Both of them seem to be enjoying their time in Segunda. Cameo played 27 matches, scored 11 goals, 3 assists. So that's a goal contribution every 150 minutes. Whereas Riquelme, in 27 matches, has 4 goals and 7 assists, a goal contribution every 130 minutes. Emmanuel, what are your thoughts about both players, and what do you think the future holds for them? Do you think they are ready for a be part of the squad, maybe as a bench option? Do you think they should be loaned out again, but this time to a mid-table La Liga side?
Well, I'm going to start with their future, and I'm going to say for players coming from the B team, it's really uncertain how their future is at Atleti, given the club kind of go for a lot of short-term projects and not something long. And because Cholo has to keep on rebuilding the squad, maybe after 2 or 3 years, so it's kind of difficult to say if they'll be part of the team or not. But we always hope that they are going to make it to the first team. Well, I don't think both are ready, but if I'm to choose one, that would be Riquelme. I think he's been on fine form, and in my opinion, given he has been out on loan longer than Camilo, he has a lot of experience and will be good for the team. But the issue is position he plays in has so many options in the first team, which is bad for him. Going to their loan spells and Mirandes, well, both players are doing great there. You had Camilo who had a good start and has been a starter since he arrived there, given he offers a lot to the team, just more than goals. He's good off the ball. He's good in the box. His link-up is great. Though his physicality is not the best, but him having his first loan spell is going to improve a lot of things about him. And as for Riquelme, he kind of had to work his way into the team, given he came in and you have Hassan, who was basically playing, was a starter, and he had to prove that he could offer more because Hassan is a very good dribbler, but well, he has a lot of downsides. Because you know, most of the players who are very good dribblers, they don't really offer much goal threat. And since Hassan is still 19-year-old, he's growing, he has a lot of to improve. But back to Riquelme. Riquelme had to work his way into the team, and he's basically a vital piece now for Mirandes because he offers a lot more to them. He scores, he assists, he's averaging a goal. He has 0.81 goals and assists per 90. That's really great from him. And it's not just that, he also has the work rate to win a lot of duels, especially the grand duels, make the interception and recover the ball back for his team. So basically, yeah, both of them are doing really good, and we all hope. My issue is for many of such players who are going out alone with a vision of playing for Atleti to have a chance at the first team, many things will have to change. And it's like, we'll not say it's the club's fault, but the club will need to have a long-term project and not the short-term refreshes. Like, for example, I think it's like I think the project now is like a live team where maybe after 5 minutes you have to refresh so that you can keep on watching the game. And that's how the club is short, a lot of short-term projects, and that does not really favor most of these players from the academy or the B team who have the vision of playing for the first team. But yeah, like you said, another option is maybe them going to a mid-table like that. That would be great. But one of the things I will highlight is the fact that Atleti's loan policy has been really bad in last year's, but this season it kind of improved. I love the way they reacted to Molejo and Getafe, and love the way they have most of the players that have gone out on loan this season are having minutes. And I think you have Riquelme and Camilo are among the top players who are having minutes for Atleti this season. So back to those two players, alone to a mid-table La Liga side next season, they will be good to them. It takes them closer to the first team. Something I think the only player from that their generation, when I mean that generation, I'm talking about the generation of Manu Sanchez, Victor Moleho, you have Tony Moya. I think the closest player who has the highest probability of making to the first team is Manu Sanchez. But then again, a lot of things depend on him, maybe. So that says a lot about the club. But them going to mid-table La Liga club will be good for them, given that they will be facing tougher position and quality, and they also have much room to go working under better coaches as compared to the Segunda.
Very well. We said in the last episode that we will be discussing one player every week from the youth team, and obviously you just talked about Cameo and Droro. Another player which we saw multiple times this season, who is part of the UEFA youth team that is currently in the semi-final of the UEFA Youth League, is Javier Serrano, a very promising midfielder, can play as a central midfielder and a defensive midfielder. Manuel, please give us your thoughts about the very promising youngster.
Well, I just talked about Manu Sanchez having the chance, highest probability of one of the big team players to make it to the first team. Well, Serrano is also another who, in my opinion, at the moment, he has a higher probability even than players like Camilo and Riquelme who are out on loan. Well, he's a very, very, very good midfielder. I think most of us have seen. Well, he's a holding midfielder that is, for me, his basic role, the role that suits him best so far, is a holding midfielder. Well, that's good for him, because Atleti really need one at the moment, but he's not really first team ready, and Atleti might go for one in the market, which might maybe reduce his amount of chances, game time he has been having this season. But it looks like he's the player in the B team. Cholo has a lot of trust, and Cholo has said a lot of good things about him, and he might be the player who might make the first team sooner. Talking about his attribute, well, he's a player with a very decent ball playing ability. He also has the tactical intelligence. I think he's very good at reading the game, reading scenarios. If you watch the Youth League games in which he played as a holding midfielder, he was the kind of go-to man to start Atleti's game, bypassing team press, launching attacks, and also brilliant positioning for him in recovering balls. That is really great for him. And I think from the games he has played in the first team, many have liked his fighting spirit. Is that ability to win the ball back, be it tackling, intercepting, or so that's something which is really great for him. I think it was the goal against, again, the match against Osasuna for Korea's goal. He played a key part in the goal, which was great because he kind of, Herrera's pass was not the best, but he did not give up on it, and he had to play a return pass to Koke, who then put Korea through on goal. So he's basically a versatile player, like you talked about, but I think his future lies in midfield, and that is where I would like to see him play. Many have drawn comparisons with his fighting spirit he shows on the pitch, like that of Gabi, which is obviously great. And I think he's a well-rounded player. That means he cannot just play a holding; he can play several variety of roles in midfield. At Atleti's current setup, I would say he can play maybe one of the interiors, but I don't think he'll be as effective as he was the holding midfielder. But him playing as a holding midfielder would be a tough task, given at Atleti currently, the holding midfielder has is not just it just Atleti, but in football, it's a tough role for anyone to play at, because you are like kind of the man before they meet the defense, and you have a lot of job to do. You screw up, and the team is in very lot of danger. But what I really like about him is his positivity, his energy, his energy, he's consistent, he's aggressive, and that kind of tells you a lot about the player he is, and that maybe also shows why Cholo kind of likes him much, because of those qualities. He's aggressive, he's willing to press, give his 120% for the team. And the thing I really like about him is that his ability to really do well in tight spaces. And Like I talk about, you help the beating bypass the press. That does not just mean of terms of positioning, but able to receive between the lines, good body orientation when receiving the ball on the half turn. So, to be honest, amongst all the players in the B team at the moment, he's the player I like the most because I see him with the most potential, which says, in my opinion, that he might be the one we have been crying for because it's been long since we saw a player from their B team or their academy become a first team regular. We have seen players come and go 4 or 5 games, Manu Santos, for example, but we want to see many of them become regular, and he has that opportunity to really be a regular under Cholo.
I mean, given Atleti's current state with central midfielders, I think he will benefit from a loan move next season. Atleti currently have Lamar, Llorente, Koke, and Depaul playing, competing for a place as a to play in the middle of the pitch. You have also Vass and Saul returning from his loan at Chelsea. So it'll be tough for Serrano to get minutes playing at Atleti next season. So I think a loan to a La Liga side will be beneficial for him. What do you think?
Well, him going out alone is fantastic because he has, like the same thing I just said about Camelo and Riquelme, is good. He'll be having game time, which is obviously very good. And also, we get to see more of him playing against tough opposition, not just he's on each male, like under 19. And that would be really great for him. But, well, that all depends because he can maybe have a direct route. Like you said, his direct route to the first team, but maybe not going alone like that of Lucas is tough, given the options we currently have in midfield, and you know, Atleti will be going in for a holding midfielder next season. So, him going out alone is kind of his best way to kind of show the first, so Cholo and the club what he can do. And a good season, having a good loan next season, that's if he goes on loan, might maybe bring him back to the team and he has a place in the team. But then again, Atleti are going for someone, Atleti has Condomio on the books. That means even if he has a good season, you have two players ahead of him. And he kind of keep talking about the short-term motion I just talked about. So at the moment, it's really tough for beating players to really have a shot at the first team, given the club's objective and how the method they are using to achieve those objectives.
Very well. So that covers it all for today's episode. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for joining me.
It's always a pleasure talking with you, Atta.
Same to you. And of course, thank you guys for sticking with us. Remember, nunca dejes de creer, and see you in the next episode.